everyone, and welcome back. We're continuing our conversation with Denise DeGaulle. Hey, Denise.
Hey, Jean.
And we're talking about mindfulness and stress management. And we were just talking in between conversations about there's so much to cover. So where are we headed now? What's our next thought process?
I want to talk a little bit about
Oh, I was just going to do a quick recap. So we talked about mindfulness and the importance of that and just the managing of stress. And so where are we headed next?
I still want to talk a little bit more about mindfulness because there's so many different aspects to this. And again, I mentioned earlier, mindfulness and meditation are not exactly the same thing. You know, one kind of floats into the other, but mindfulness really is about staying in the moment and actually experiencing what's happening in front of you. And the more you practice this, I mean, like everything, it's a practice. The more you actually do train your brain to stay in the moment. Now, obviously, if we're planning for a trip, you know, we're planning our finances, which if that's the case, we turn to Eugene.
I can help.
If we're planning those things, that's different. You know, we're thinking about the future, but we're still being mindful because we're sitting at a place and we're thinking of that particular topic. You know, we're not thinking, okay, we're planning this vacation. And oh, by the way, you know, all of these different tangents. So, and that can get confusing. And that when people say to me, I feel like I'm so scattered because they have this thought and then they have that thought and they're not actually paying attention to the thought that is in front of them. Interesting. I found this piece interesting. A couple of years ago, there was an article. It was an article in Scientific American, which we get here at the house. My husband's been getting it, the magazine, for years. And apparently, after an 8-week course specifically on mindfulness, what they found was truly, you can literally change your brain. The brain's flight or fight center, the amygdala, I'm never going to say that right, your flight or fight center has actually been shown to decrease with mindfulness practices. Now, this was an 8-week course. So we got to start somewhere, right? What if we went, you know, an 8-week course? What if we continued 12 weeks, 12 months, 2 years? And it's one of those things, the more we do it, like I said, it's a practice. The more we do it, the easier it gets. To the point where you don't have to think about it so much. Like, oh, I have to be mindful about you know, what I'm eating or, you know, what I'm saying, whatever it might be. So I think that was something that really surprised me because I love the science piece behind all of this, you know, and luckily they have been doing studies, whoever they are, right? There has been truly scientific research from medical centers around the country and probably around the world, but around the country specific to mindfulness and how it helps with stress management, how it helps with our overall health and wellness.
I mean, we think about what our daily habits are or not habits, good or bad, whatever they are. This is a no judgment zone, but something that you said made this come to mind, and it's the triggers. We have to figure out what our triggers are, or we have to figure out the triggers to realize that we are not being in the present moment. And one of the things that comes to mind is that if we're sitting outside, or if we're sitting someplace, or we're just being someplace, and what we're doing is we're on our phone, and what's happened now in society is that we're so attached to these ridiculous rectangles of mind numbing, which I am totally addicted to it. So I fight with it all the time, is that we're not sitting quietly in our thoughts. We're not sitting quietly in the moment. We're not listening to the birds, whatever it is. We're needing to make sure that we are doing something, which quite often becomes mind numbing and just checking out rather than sitting with it.
Yeah, we're always trying to be doing something. You're right. It's we don't have the ability, for whatever reason, thank you, phones and media being available 24/7. We don't have quiet time. We don't put that into our daily schedule. And it's true, like when we go for a run outside, I don't ever run with music. If I'm outside, I don't want to run with music. That's time to be out in nature and experience nature. Now, Mark is the opposite. If he's running, he kind of needs to be distracted from the physical activity. And that, for whatever reason, that just works for him. It doesn't work for me. And maybe because I am more in tune to the mindfulness piece and being out in nature, as a healing resource for me. And so you're right, we're always distracting ourselves, and distracting ourselves from our own thoughts. So we
Oh,
mentioned
that's a good one.
distracting ourselves from our own thoughts. I mentioned earlier in another in our past episode about, what are our core values? Like, what are the things that are important to us? It's amazing to me how many times when I'm working with a new client that they don't know because they haven't thought about it. They haven't really taken the time to think about themselves and who they are and what they enjoy. That's a piece that always surprises me, that women, especially when they get to that empty nest time in their life, they don't even know what they enjoy anymore. And so that's kind of where that distraction kind of fills that void. I see this more and more with my
Yeah,
clients.
I quite often have to watch myself or pay attention to why am I picking up my phone? And am I picking up my phone because I'm supposed to be doing something that's constructive? Or am I picking up my phone because I'm either avoiding doing something or just avoiding deciding to do something or just avoiding?
So you make a good point. For those of us who have been what my mother would say, overachievers, in my opinion, I was just an achiever. I was achieving things, but she loved the phrase overachiever. And we're always, it's ingrained in us at a very young age that we're always supposed to be doing something, that we have to be productive. And to be productive, we've got to do stuff. Well, if we're always doing stuff, we're actually, we're always in this do, go, go mode. And I think what happens so often is we keep doing the same things over and over, whether we enjoy it or not, whether it's helping us or not. So think of this, in the morning, and I probably know the answer to this. When you get up in the morning and you have your cup of coffee or cup of tea, lately I've been drinking coffee in the morning, and typically it's tea. What are you doing?
Well, it's what I've, so for me, the good part is I've already done some things first. So usually before that happens, I've gone to a 6 o'clock yoga class. And so that helps. But there are times where that, and that cup of coffee for me is decaffeinated too. So it's, I don't need it. Unfortunately, I can't have it. So I don't, but fortunately, I don't need it to function. So as we know, other people that were around
Yes,
that
so
actually
other people we
do.
definitely know. Okay, so think of it this way.
So what am I doing? But to answer your question, because I was avoiding your question because I don't like my answer. But what am I doing? That I sometimes I'm reading a book in the morning before I start work. I'll read a book, and especially if the sun is shining, I'll go outside and read a book. So that's an okay thing. But this morning I was on my dumb phone for that 20 minutes before I was going to start work. Because it wasn't enough time to do anything, right? So,
Reading the book, though, to me, that's a mindfulness practice.
I agree. Yes, I'm not, yes, I was not
Completely
dissing
agree.
that. Yes,
And
I would,
also,
yes.
when you mentioned going to yoga, I mean, you can't be in a yoga class, and in a yoga pose and not be mindful of what's going on at the moment. So I think it is important to
Oh, I
recognize that.
disagree that. Oh, no. This is not a friendly podcast. I disagree with that because sometimes I'm in that pose and I'm saying really nasty things because I'm really uncomfortable.
It hurts.
And sometimes it takes a little while. Let's be honest with everybody here. Sometimes it takes this morning. I've got some physical issues. So I was really achy today. And it took me mentally probably 20 minutes to get through feeling sorry for myself and do what I can. So yeah.
But you proved my point though. You were thinking about what was happening at that moment.
That's true.
You
That's
were
true.
rehearsing how uncomfortable you were,
Yeah, good
right?
point. Okay.
You weren't thinking, oh, I have that client at 2 o'clock today.
Oh, that's true. Okay, yes, I was in the moment. It just wasn't a positive thought
It wasn't a
process.
very tranquil moment. And to be quite honest, between you, me, and the lamppost and everybody that's listening, I've never found yoga to be like that relaxing for me because I'm a runner, and my body is always like tensed up from running. Yoga is, it's stretching for me. I don't think of it as, a yoga practice. I think of it as this is something I need to do to enhance my running.
Yes, you are supposed to be able to touch your toes, Miss Runner.
I can do that. It's easier if I touch somebody else's toes, though. Mark, can I touch your toes?
There
I can still touch my toes.
you go.
After a run, maybe not. So truly, just to get back to mindfulness, what I would like people to start doing is to take just a little bit of time every day to stop, enjoy the moment. Whether you're outside, I'm not going out there today, it's too cold. Whether you're outside enjoying the sun or, feeling the wind, on your face, or the cold on your face, just listening or just being, breathing, just breathing. And that's something we'll talk about in another session a little bit more about breathing techniques. Something that I have found has really elevated my ability for mindfulness. I don't like to call it a mindfulness practice, but it's give it a name. What I do is I follow positive intelligence. I have an app that stops me 4 times a day, 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. And it helps me. Sometimes it's, centering by breathing. Sometimes I'm focused on person or a situation. Sometimes I'm just sitting there trying to decide, how does my body feel right now? Because it's amazing to me, and this piece I think is important, because so often, our body is uncomfortable, and our bodies are telling us what it needs. We just don't always listen. This is another piece of this why mindfulness is really important. What if your shoulder sore, you have a kink in your neck. What's going on there? If it's sore, maybe do something today. Maybe put some essential oil on it. Maybe rub it. Because before you know it, and this happened to me when I was in my busy corporate career, my shoulders literally, when I would walk into a room, I saw pictures of like a video of me at a conference. And literally, I looked like I was, my ears were attached, my shoulders were attached to my ears. Because I was so tense throughout the years, and I never even paid attention to it. And somebody mentioned it to me that particular day. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like, they literally put their hands on my shoulders and
And push them
pushed my
down.
shoulders down and said, this is where your shoulders are supposed to be. And actually, it was uncomfortable because my shoulders hadn't been there in natural position in a very long time. So
Your
with
body got
mindfulness, we
used
can
to that
actually,
level.
right, we can pay attention to what our body is actually telling us.
It's good. I like it. Thank you, Denise.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. This is Jean Gallagher, Discover Rising Tides, and I want to just take a moment to talk about my friend, Denise Segal. I am honored to call her as a friend, and I'm so grateful that she gives us her insight during our shows each show and talks about healthy living, eating real food. You hear Denise say, eat real food a lot. Well, she means it and she knows what she's talking about. She is an amazing healthy living coach, curator at Living Healthy List. And if you ever have any questions about what is real food? Why does it matter? How does that apply to me? How do I change? What do I need to do? How do I even create a healthy living shopping list? Make sure that you call her. She is your healthy living coach. And you can find her at healthylivinglist.com.
Jean Gallagher, and welcome to show number 7, Discover Rising Tides, How the Outside Makes the Inside Better, where we explore the importance of the outdoors and maintaining life balance. Through this series, we will be talking with women business owners to understand their journey. And today I'm excited to introduce Brooke Haynes. Hey, Brooke.
Hi, I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so Brooke has coined herself as an energy weaver and works as a coach and a trainer inside of two large communities, Consergo and Freedom Leaders. Her passion is in collaboration and her mission is to create communities where people are empowered to create partnerships that elevate everyone. And we'll give your, when we're done, we'll make sure we give your contact information too. So we'll get to that part, but welcome. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here and I'm excited for this conversation.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about your background. We're going to talk about a few things. I want to hold on tight because it's going to be a high energy conversation and we'll talk about you and your business. And then we'll also talk about the outside and how that plays into everything, but give us some background on you.
Whew. So I did start off in the traditional college route, right? And then learned that I didn't want to do that about 3.5 years into it. And I stopped and I took a little bit of time off. And then before I knew it, I decided to jump into multi-level marketing. And I had never heard of multi-level marketing. I never knew anybody in multi-level marketing. And from that point forward, I have just been an entrepreneur of some sort or another ever since. That was 20 years history of a windy path.
And I think based on our conversation that we've had, for you, putting what you put into 20 years is what, it's probably triple what anybody would have put into 40 years. So,
so I've been told. I'll never forget the moment when my dad, I remember I was in the yard on the phone with him and he said, honey, I just think that if you just went like a normal traditional route, you'd be bored. And I thought, he finally gets it.
So where are you today and how did you get there?
Oh, I live in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And I got here through that multi-level marketing company, but I did go and live in 8 different regions and all around the region, 4 different businesses and different things that I've done. And if you're referring to where am I today in my life, I am in a good place where I was able to really excel and blow up to the shifts of COVID in 2020. 2020 was my favorite year of my life. And 2021 is becoming the next favorite year. Mm-hmm. But 2020 happened. I saw so much beauty happening. I saw the bad. I saw the people getting sick. I had family affected who will never be the same in health. But I saw people coming together. I saw people move, like opening up their mindset and coming alive. And I was able to really help a lot of people pivot from in-person businesses to online. And we just soared. My energy was right. The business was right. The people all around was perfect. Like everything was just perfect. And then this year has been all about going inside. So where I am today is going through a lot of expansion, a lot of personal growth, business growth, and having a lot of fun doing it.
So tell me a little bit of the difference between the going inside and what that looked like last year.
That's a great question. Last year, I mean, I was just like totally extrovert. I would jump in a group or on a Zoom and my energy would just expand, you know, and I could be in social media and just drop a comment and it would just attract so much, it have so much attraction. Mm-hmm. And I would get messages from people I'd never met before who would say, I just love your energy. And I couldn't even remember where they'd found me. And it was all about the other people. And it was all about me showing up and sharing mindset and sharing shift and helping them soar. And everything I was doing was just landing really, really well with people. I was seeing people make more money with some coaching sessions or just me being around and the co-collaboration and co-creation, making more money than they've ever made in their life. We just had a lot of fun. This year, I've always been kind of like, show up to a party and I just start talking and I'm real energetic. But this year has been totally different. I've not been much on social media. I've not found a lot of posts I want to engage with. I've not been posting. I'll go on and I'll share some things, but half the time it's because I feel like I should. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, they halfway land. But really it's because of the huge shifts coming in my area. One of which is just like where I'm physically located now. I've built my whole life just really loving and embracing and enjoying being single, being, I just pure freedom. I'm a mom, and I loved just my lifestyle. I loved every part about it. And I really expanded this year into some new decisions. And now I'm in a partnership and we've moved and a lot of big things have happened in my life this year. So, and now I'm feeling like it's all coming out. Like last year is combining with this year and all my personal growth. And I said the other day to myself, I'm just really excited about how this is going.
Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And so tell me a little bit about your businesses or your communities today. And I'd like to talk about maybe your path of how from where you started 20 years ago, all the pieces that really led to this too, right?
Yes. You know, so today I'm in two communities. One is one that's just now launching and we've been working on it for a year on the back end. Mm-hmm. And it's called Consergo and it's about where we call it teachers and seekers get to meet and people who are seeking personal growth in all categories will show up and get and be able to really see the experience all their personal growth in a community with other people, with like-minded people, and have access to teachers and speakers and all of these different things in their membership. And then on the other side, another community I'm very involved in and is dear to my heart is the Freedom Facilitator Program. It's hosted and designed and created by Nick Brew, and he's a law of attraction coach. Mm-hmm. And I joined his group. I joined him and a group he was in maybe about, it was February of 2020. Mm-hmm. And loved it. And then he decided to open up a coaching group where you can learn the processes that he was teaching. And I dove right in. And now that group is large. So I'm all in it. I'm doing collaborations. I'm doing trainings. And it's just really like my heart. So those are the two places where I love to show up, as well as some women's groups that I'm around, like Uprising and things of that nature. So I really believe in community. Mm-hmm. And I could take it right now all the way from the beginning, from 20 years ago and what I was saying about entrepreneurship now. Mm-hmm. And it's just now happening, but I'm going to take a breather and see if you had a question about what I won't keep going.
Okay. Well, so, but it is a 20 year journey. And so that's really interesting when you're talking to people and you see somebody that's doing well today and you think, well, aren't they lucky? Look what they've done. They just must've, you know, just became lucky right now. But there's this background process that we all can't see or people don't realize, especially in this land of social media, the socials don't allow us to understand what happens in the background or what it really took to get to the point that you're at right now.
Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. You know, during 2020, one of the things I said all the time, this is why I'm here. This is what my life, why it all makes sense now. Like 2020 made my entire life make sense. And it was because I was seeing how I was pulling from everything. Mm-hmm. I was pulling from all the experiences that some people would have said I have failed at, and pulling from the experiences that I didn't like and for the ones I did. And I was pulling from it all and showing up authentically, not as the experiences, I guess. And I was like, oh, my whole life just makes sense all of a sudden, you know? And it was a journey. It's a personal development. I love personal development. someone says, let's open up, let's see what's in there. I'm like, sure, crack me wide open. Cause I believe in expansion and getting better and having fun and shifting and exploring what's out there. Cause all we really have is what we're experiencing. And I love experiencing like emotional shifts, you know? but yeah, I mean, 20 years ago, when we started in a multi-level marketing company and people would show up in our office, it was like, we were always going, awesome. And that was before people said awesome. And everybody would be like, all you do is you go in there and you hear everybody say, awesome, great, awesome, amazing, you know, and people had not heard those kind of energy and felt that energy and heard those positive words in one setting and a lot of people using it. Mm-hmm. So it did start back there, and it was more, it's totally different than where I am today with it. It was more about like ignoring everything and just focusing on the positive. Don't do that anymore. I don't. But that's where I started from. And then the path just continued from, I mean, I've redesigned kitchens and did well. I've moved around the US. I've taken care of people that I dearly, dearly love and assisted them through, you know, death and also just through shifts of getting sicker and all these things during my journey of all the entrepreneurship, always running a business or trying to or figuring it out during the whole time.
How do you think that how the energy shifted or how we do business shifted through 2020? How did that really change or land at you as what changed for you so that it became exactly what you needed at the time?
People opened their mind. Finally. And what I mean by that is they open their mind to business. They open their mind to collaboration. Mm-hmm. And the people who were like into their groove already, they were like, it just shook it all up, right? Mm-hmm. They were like, okay, now what? Like I saw one woman who was very, very successful. And she, COVID hit and she was like, there goes my whole business. Like that was what she was thinking. My entire business gone. She was totally local. Doing well, but totally local. How in the world could I ever? And I met her because she was about to have a 500 people in-person event. And she said, I heard you can help me go on virtual. I was virtually doing virtual planning. Mm-hmm. And she said, virtual event planning. And so I shifted to this whole event online. And we talked about it. And I was working in that event with 25 speakers who were doctors, who wow. had successful businesses. And they were scared to death. And I was like, what? And they're like, how are they going to capture my energy? How can I do this? Is this really going to work? I should just quit. We shouldn't have the event. Like, I could not believe the mindset. And I was like, girl, you're kidding. We're going to make this. This is how it's going to go. This is how we're going to capture the energy. Mm-hmm. And then through that, they were feeling that we could because I was on Zoom saying it. Mm-hmm. And I watched them just move through it and totally pivot. Watch that woman within like 8 months later make $110,000 in 10 days. I mean, her business expanded to where now she can't just go back locally. She's got people all across America now, and her classes are filling up not once every 3 months, like three times a month, wow. you know? And so it took a mind shift. And another thing that really stepped up is people started to have to have authenticity. Mm. What has always worked before no longer worked. The coaches that the big wigs that were saying, follow these five steps, say the title like this, find their pain and really go in it. All those things, they no longer worked. What people were looking for was real authenticity. They still are. There's so much BS going around us. We don't even know what to believe. But what people are looking for is authenticity, someone they can trust, someone they can like, someone that can give them hope, you know? And that was a big shift. And I mean, when the protesting and the Black Lives Matter movements started, we had a 222 consecutive days here of rioting, and it was right outside my door. We could hear it. Wow. And, you know, I have a blended family and it was, so it wasn't like it was all great. Like I couldn't see what was really happening, but it was what I explained to my son, how we were shifting to learn what we want. We're growing up or we're rising to an occasion so we can become what the change we want to see. And that's what's happening. So do I answer your question? And one more note on that, in collaboration. Another big thing is collaboration for me. I love collaborations. I think when two people get together, there's just some synergy, and it doesn't matter the, I mean, when you choose someone to have a collaboration with, that means there is some synergy. Mm-hmm. And when we show up in this entrepreneur world, which can seem very lonely at times, mm-hmm. but when we do an event or we host things together, you have a buddy, you have great energy, you can bind the audience, and you're bringing different flavors to the table. And then usually this person likes to do this part and the other person likes to do the other, and you're not doing the whole thing by yourself. Mm-hmm. And the last note on that, because this is my favorite subject. When I was 23 and I was on a stage and I had 1,000 people and I was in multi-level marketing, and I said to them, I have a dream. I have a vision. I believe that if everyone was to shift into their passion or something that they loved, they could create it as a business. And they could become, and the world would work. It would work if everyone was stepping into their passion and into things that people need. It would work. And people thought I was crazy. They were like, pat my head. She's so sweet. She's got good vision. Yeah, now it's happening. Now, if you're not on the bandwagon, you might want to get on the bandwagon, because the bandwagon, it's here. People, mm-hmm. you know, people aren't going back to work because they've got a little dose of what it was like to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the collaboration piece, because I really want to talk about that, but that's, you know, that's one of the things we met online, right? We met at one of the women's networking organizations that Lynn put together, and who is an amazing person, by the way.
Yes.
And the collaboration piece, I think that's one of the things that really, it really stuck with me about you, is that you're really good at it, but you're open to it. And I think what happened too is, you know, you said that 2020 became lonely for entrepreneurs, which is really true, because now all of a sudden we're all isolated to a certain extent because we're logistically isolated, even though maybe we're talking with so many people in so many different areas, but we're all doing it by ourselves. And I think that we might all be missing something, not having a buddy system or creating a buddy system, or just being comfortable enough to open ourselves up to accept the conversation.
Drop the mic, like you beautifully said it. As it was well said, well done. Absolutely. All of that is true. And, you know, we come from a world where there's competition. Mm-hmm. We come from a world where, well, if you're a coach and I'm a coach, why don't I want to show up to you in the same place? You might take my coach. Or there's only one seat in this group for someone who does what you do.
Oh, and don't even start me on that kind of a networking group.
Are you kidding?
Because all of a sudden the tone of this podcast is going to change.
Right.
Because now you're telling me not only am I only one that can do this thing in this group, but I have to use you across the table, and I know nothing about you, but I'm going to pay money to join you.
Yes. Yes. And so that has been how it was. But in my world and in my reality and into today, the way I exist, I'm not around those kind of people anymore. Mm-hmm. And the world has changed, and it is changing. And more will jump on the bandwagon to say, oh, wait a minute, Target and Walmart's been side by side for 100 years or whatever, you know? And it's like, now it's, there are 100 coaches. There are 100 people who can help you with your funds. But it's who you connect with. It's mm-hmm. the energy you want to follow. And there is nobody like you. So to really tap into, what if there were 5 people who all sold real estate? And they said, well, I want, instead of saying we're competition, we're not going to the same place, we're going to show up and do a summit. And this is your favorite area of real estate. And then this, and everybody had their own area of real estate that they loved. And then they showed up and did some sort of training or workshop or summit or however they want to put it. The impact they can make on people would be way beyond any impact that one person could make. And anyone that would say, yeah, but what if someone I know goes to someone else? Then they weren't going to go with you anyway. They just weren't. Mm-hmm. This is not a world where we're limited to who we can choose anymore. So expose us all and let the energies connect and call it what it is. I guarantee they'll have someone that might choose somebody different, but that's okay. It's totally okay.
Yeah. And especially in the coaching world, because didn't 2020 find everybody that had a career that either ended or pivoted all of a sudden became some sort of a coach?
Yes. And absolutely they did. And in multi-level marketing, everyone that was like, well, everybody's heard of my product the last 20 years. They're like, I know what I can do. I know that the product works, but really there's a whole nother part of life than just this product. And they became coaches too. Mm-hmm. So anybody who was good at what they did, they wanted to go and train it. Anybody who had, been selling a product and realized it's not just one thing that makes a holistic life, started coaching. And then everybody who was like, I'm going to be a coach one day, but I'm working right now to pay my bills. I'm going to be a coach right now, but I'm going to work one day to pay my bills. They all just did it. You know, they did it. And to have a small dose of being at home, to shutting down, to relaxing and being in the space, like some people did go crazy, but there were a whole lot of people who it worked real well for, you know?
So tell me about your coaching business. What does that look like?
Well, I don't have a mainstream coaching business that people are used to hearing where I could sit here and tell you in one step what it'd be. But my coaching business, I usually meet with someone and figure out what they're looking for. I do a lot of mindset shifting, but it's not just like, say your affirmations, because those don't, it's showing up, right? It's an entire body life integration. And so when people are like, dealing with some things and they're not sure why they keep dealing with those same things, we just go in and we shift, we might do some shifting around it. But what I really love is when people are ready to then expand where they are. And so I help them help them through, like, let's say they weren't in a relationship and they wanted to be in one, or they were in one, but they didn't know how to make it better. I really like helping them through that shift. Mm-hmm. And I don't coach things. I believe that every piece of information that we need is already out there. Okay. Probably not, but that's what I believe. Okay. But what makes us all so unique is how we show up for each other and deliver it and package it. I don't have a step-by-step plan. I show up and intuitively figure out where they are. I have lots of tools. I have lots of things under my belt, lots of experiences. And also I have helped a lot of people shift. Mm-hmm. And often I'm not the person for them. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? I got the perfect person for you. And I know there's someone else that's more fitting for them. And I'll connect them.
That's a really important trait, because that's not an ego statement. That is a caring, you showed up for them. You were personally there, and you're really there for their benefit, not for your financial benefit to say you have a check off another client in your box.
Well, thank you. And it comes very natural. Like, it's just kind of who I am. Mm-hmm. And when I look back and along my life, I was always kind of that way on in different levels and in different containers. Right. Mm-hmm. And people kind of thought I was a little weird, but that's okay. You know, but even when I was working with people, you know, like older people or people who were sick or whatever, I didn't just work for them. I stepped inside a container, and they have family and friends and people they worked with and all of these different dimensions. And I weaved all through them all. So I was the friend with their friends. I was the, you know, daughter to their mothers and, you know, all that kind of thing. And I really relayed a lot. I got to hear what best friends would say about their dying best friend. And I got to hear what the dying friend would say about the friend who didn't show up or who did. I got to hear what it was like to have someone say, do you want help with that? Versus like, just like making it easy and taking care of them. I got to hear what people felt like when people would look at them certain ways, or what it was like to pull into a parking spot and didn't have enough room to get out with their wheelchair. Like, I got to experiencing these things I'd never experienced before. I got to find out why they didn't want to stop working when they could have financially and should have physically. Right. So I got to experience all those things. And I'm like, and I played a big role in all those people. And that's kind of what I do now in the entrepreneur world. You know,
but I just connect. You listen. So listening is a really, really hard skill, because when you're talking to somebody and you're supposed to be teaching, in my opinion, or this is where I have to really be conscious about how I'm operating, right? Is when people are telling you something, sometimes what you're thinking about is what you're going to say next versus just listening and observing. And so listening comes in many different stages. Listening is through your ears, but it's through your eyes. It's through all of your senses to understand really what they're saying and sometimes what they're not saying based upon their words and their actions. And if you're just trying to think about what you're going to say next to them, you're going to miss all of those signals and either not be the right person to help or lead them in a direction that wasn't even appropriate for where they're at.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. For sure. And I think that's a big turning point in my coaching, was when I thought I had information to give to people to help them, mm-hmm. versus me showing up and holding space and giving them a container to feed themselves information, to receive their own knowledge, to receive their own ideas, but just to hold the space for them. So I call myself an integration coach for that reason. I don't have these things. And often when we're an expert at something or whatever that subject matter is, we want to give them all the tools and information that we think could help change. But that's not the same language a lot of times as what they would use, or it might not be, like you said, what they really need to hear. Mm-hmm. I had a big shift really at the turn of this year when I was already coaching, when I stopped. What would happen was when I would show up in a group or I would show up somewhere with a different product, like if I was doing virtual event planning and that was the product they paid me for, mm-hmm. the coaching was like insanely good. Like, girl, you good. Okay. But when I would show up just to coach, it wasn't as good. And I was like, what's going on here? That was the shift, is what you said. I went from giving them, I thought they were there because they just look at me. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, I'm supposed to speak. Okay. And I'm supposed to tell them something. And I don't really know what they need to hear. But I would just say stuff, right? But when it shifted was when I was able to learn how to ask the questions and just mm-hmm. learn that my biggest role for them is to hold space and just ask some questions that might help them shift, but not even in a slanted way, in an open way, right? Like, not, but did you see how that affected you? No, you know, nothing like that. But like, well, what's the earliest memory? You know, or what's the, you know, just depends. How does that make you feel? You know, things like that. And then they just go on and they'll shift. And at the end of it, here, I've asked a few questions, but I've held and really held tight this container. And they think I'm the best thing since sliced bread. I'm just like, I didn't do it. You did it. You did it.
So that's interesting, because that kind of a shift happened for me too. And I think it's when you let go of being uncomfortable if you ask a question with what their response is going to be. So sometimes when I first started, you know, talking with clients and things, sometimes you're very cautious about what you're going to ask them because you're afraid of what they're going to say, because you're going to have to come up with something else. And when you let that go and set that to the side and really relax. And for me in my business, it went from, you know, selling and telling to teaching and implementing.
So, and you're good at that, because I've worked with you to do that. You're amazing at it. That's great. And I hear you. Yeah. And that's
yeah, it is. And when you just let go of if they ask you a question you don't know the answer to, then you don't know the answer. You don't make it up. You don't know the answer. You find it out. You get back with them. But it takes that internal, for me, it took that internal pressure away. So now I don't have to be worried about what they're going to ask of me or what question they're going to ask. Because if I don't know the answer,
And that's so real. Think of how real that is. Do they really expect you to have all the answers? Then it becomes across like, do you really know? Or are you pulling that out from somewhere?
Right.
But when I used to redesign kitchens and I wouldn't know, I'd be like, hang on, I'll ask. You know, and I'd get on the phone, I'd ask, and I had to ask a lot, you know, when they got to those little details, I was like, oh, you want to know the details? Let me call somebody. But that's so true. And another piece of where my coaching changed is what you're saying is when I let go of self-doubt. I didn't realize I had the self-doubt, but I was afraid if they didn't get a big shift, then I didn't do my job. Or if they felt certain, if something's, I was holding on to the outcome and then relating that to how good my worthiness. And when I really tapped into this is as it should be, like whatever happens is how it should happen. Someone told, a mentor of mine said, even when your intuition is wrong, it was meant to be wrong, you know, and because that was said so differently, it stuck to me and I'm like, okay, I'm hearing you. And so when I just let go of all that and decided that it's not my, not a reflection of my worth, or because it didn't go a certain way, doesn't mean it went, you know, I put the meaning on everything, right? That was another big shift. Yeah.
So what do you think? So right now for your client interactions, are they, they're mostly virtual, right? Versus in person.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like pretty much I assume everything's 100% virtual, but I did have one person that was local that I did see in person. Yeah.
Did it change? How is it different? I know that for me, we were talking about this earlier. For me, a lot of my work is still virtual, but every once in a while, sometimes I crave that one-on-one in-person conversation that ends up going for a really long amount of time. But it's it just reminds you, I don't know, there's something really good about in person, but I think that all of us are getting better at being ourselves virtually.
Yes. So the difference to me was that I couldn't keep it reined in. Like I was just like wide open with time, with subjects. So in coaching, I even though I'd let it flow where it's supposed to go, I will like take some story out of it. Like, okay, let's get back to this part. And that's kind of the story issue of it. And I don't let that happen as much. So I'm more focused. But when I was in person, it was just like, hey, I'm sitting on your couch. We're having a good time. We can talk about whatever you want. And I spent like 2 to 3 times more time doing it. He loved it. He absolutely thought it was a fantastic, but you know, and you said something before I started talking that said, that's why he did so well, because he is not comfortable on the computer. He is not the person who knows even how to show up authentically. To him, computer is how he does his work, and he's so unhappy with work. That was one of the things. So it just dawned on me when you said that. I was like, well, no wonder it went so well, because we had the biggest shifts when we were in person, but with him, not with, you know, just with him. And I've had brilliant shifts online. Like I know an energy person who does energy work, and the pendulum still works even in Zoom. I've had 3 computers up here with 3 different events going. One was like the doulas who were talking about self-love, self-care, and women empowerment, all this stuff. One was not. Okay, let's just say that. I was like, I probably shouldn't say what it was out loud. And then I don't remember the third one, but these two together, this computer was like vibrating. Like it had light coming from it. And the other one was like loom and gloom all the way around. I was like, you can feel it in a computer. You can see it coming
out. If you're present in the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're doing emails in the background, you're not going to get as much benefit out of it.
I will tell you though, that is one of the, for me personally, that is one of the largest challenges, is not to multitask in a virtual world.
It is a challenge, and it's greater and greater the longer we're on there. For me, it's as soon as someone shares a screen. As soon as they share a screen, I can't stay connected. Now, I know that there's visual learners, and but I'm a feeler, I'm an experiencer. So I have learned, if I really care enough, which if I really want to know, when they share the screen, I take my little bar and I totally take them and I push that out of the way. I don't want to see their screen. And so the screen is like, you know, this big, and they're really big. And if I need to, I can move my bar back. But as soon as someone shares their screen, it's my turn to go. It's my time just to disconnect. And not because I'm they won't see me. Sometimes they will, but it's because I can't stay connected through a freaking piece of paper with words on it. I stay connected with the person, you know.
That's interesting. And so to be able to take that back to yourself, to watch people that you're talking to be conscious of that as you're sharing screens with other people, that's an interesting skill to know too.
Yeah. What I do is if I'm in a workshop or if I'm sharing a screen for something, I'll share a screen. I'll do 1 to 2 slides, mm-hmm. and then I'll unshare and talk. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do 1 to 2 slides, and then I'll unshare and we talk. And the biggest thing about that, and I try still not to do it, but I do know there are virtual or there's vision, you know, I get it. Mm-hmm. But most importantly is I try anything I do online with more than one person, I try my very best to get them engaged, mm-hmm. get them talking, not me, get them engaged and get them having fun. If I learned through 2020 very quickly that you could give them one tiny piece of information and let them talk and they'll walk away thinking it was awesome. You can give them 20 pieces of information and not let them talk and they're bored.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, that's a really good observation. So yeah. tell us a little bit about your Concergo and the Freedom.
Yeah, facilitator. It's okay. It's Freedom Formula Facilitator.
There we go. Thank you.
Yes. So Concergo is a platform that's launching. That's just like it's not just like, because there's the reason we have differences, but it's kind of like a Mindvalley. So where you can go on, but it's specifically for two different things that are different, specifically for local teachers, meaning people who aren't worldly known, who aren't huge, you know, but have amazing content. And then two, we really focus on the community. I have studied and do believe and buy into that we need 2 lines of communication a day that is equal or higher energy level than ourselves. And as long, that could be a podcast, that could be a person, that could be all kinds of different things. And when we're able to do that, and when we have 2 lines of communication, we can keep ourselves, it really supports us. And so this is a community of like-minded people where they can go on and be together and be a part of each other and experience personal growth. There's nothing like learning something new and feeling really good. And all you have to do is share it with people who are like thuddy duds.
Well, I will tell so you, one. I will tell you before you go on and say hi to Jagger. I can see
you. Can you
say that hi. Today I was in the, you know, I was doing a lot of computer work and my energy was getting really low and I'm coming up to talking to you and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank goodness we're talking because you're going to lift my energy level and I'm going to be better off for the rest of the afternoon.
Oh, well, thank you. And yeah. that's true for me. I've been working on the back end of a lot of things, of working this on the back end of these companies to get them built and doing things. And I've learned that I have to put time in there to connect with someone because that uplifts me. This will put me on fire. It'll be like a cup of coffee for the rest of the night.
So tell me about the others.
Freedom Facilitator, Formula Facilitator. So again, it's with Nick Brew. Mm-hmm. And it's a law of attraction base. And he created it to teach people how to coach these basic principles that he's came up with, belief training and emotional shifts and things of that nature. But now it has turned into just a community for people who just want a deeper dive. Because when you teach to teach, you know, you learn and integrate. So there's about 600 people in the smaller community. And then in the community with just learning and hearing and receiving the information. And then there is about 150 of us that are into deep diving and coaching and working with people. And we do work with each other for no charge. He does a call that helps with your personal shifting or business building, anything you want. There's a gentleman who does a call on one of the days a week. And then I do a Friday business building, and we didn't even get into that, but a business building and tech package call. So we are able to, in just a few minutes, but we are able to really have a whole package for people who want to do coaching or become coaching or to learn this kind of thing and go coach it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like a turnkey business almost.
That's fantastic.
So and I do training in there and I love the people. Love it, love it, love it, love it. I mean, like I don't, I do training with them, like, you know, we're all training.
Well, we're all learning all the time. And if we, yes, we think that we don't need to learn, then we have a problem.
Right.
Yeah. There's so tell me a little bit about the outdoors and how is that important to you and how do you use that?
Ooh, great question. You probably said that because you probably felt that I could use a little bit more of it right now.
No.
But let me tell you, it is extremely important. And that was a big part of my 2020 shift because mm-hmm. I never did it. I never even really understand. I love to go hiking, but I didn't use it as a way to be aligned, as a way to stay connected. Mm. And in 2020, I learned that how long it took me to say, excuse me one second, run downstairs, go outside and just hug a tree and give it everything and come back. It was like, if I was downstairs office, a minute and a half, if it was upstairs, 3 minutes, reconnect. And the more I spent outside and reconnecting and my feet in the ground, the better I was as a coach, the better I was as a mom, the better as I was as everything. And so that was extremely important. And then I have learned since then, when I forget to go outside and when I forget to connect outside, that I get too much up here. Mm-hmm. And when I'm too much up here, I'm not that great. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really know, you know, I need to be more in my body for it to work
out. I love how you explained that because we are up here in California. It's been, and I can't complain about this because the only thing I have to complain about is that I have smoke. I'm not evacuated and I'm, you know, we are safe where we are, but it's been incredibly smoky here. And so that limits the amount of outside time. And I love how you put it because that's exactly how I've been feeling. All up here and yeah. Not here. Yeah.
It makes a big difference for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not as happy. And also I'll coach from up here and my coaching from up here, just everything we've talked about just kind of reinforces what that, and, you know, and I'm not as much a receiver. I've even learned how much my mindset kind of starts to shift when I'm outside. It's freedom. It's open. It's abundance. It's endless possibility. It's all of these things. But when I'm not out there, it becomes more limited.
I love that. And I think that that's really important. I think a lot of people will resonate with that because you do end up in your headspace versus being able to be open to receive or open to give.
Right.
I think there's somebody there that's probably hungry.
Yes. It's time.
Right. And you know, I think we could talk for hours. It's been wonderful. And I appreciate your time today. And so tell everybody where we can find you. And
well, you can find me at itssimplyreal.com. So itssimplyreal.com. And you can find me there or on Facebook under It's Simply Real. And maybe we can have a part two one day because this is fun.
I would love to do a part two. So before we go, do you have one thing that you would like to leave us with?
Oh, goodness. Yes. So I like to say, what I want to leave you with is a question for you.
Oh.
And I would like to know you, because I didn't even get like into you, right? I was like, this has all been about me. I want to know from you, what is your wish for humanity?
Ooh, that's a deep question. I think is to be kind.
Ooh. Yeah, it's nice.
Can be kind. Yeah, to want to be kind and to genuinely want to care.
And you do that in your business because I have worked with you on that end and I could tell that my interest was your best interest, you know. Thank you.
So thanks so much, Brooke. Thanks for your time. And it's been a pleasure talking with you. And thanks to everybody else.